So morning to all joining us in the church here, and good morning if you're joining us online for this morning's service. This is the morning service for All Saints, Fordham and Atash Green, Sunday the 8th of August. I'm Roy Miller, member of the church congregation here. And this morning we begin a three-week series exploring the theme of To Be a Pilgrim, looking at Psalms 120 to 122. And Paul Southern, with the Lord's help, will be guiding us through these Bible passages. Today we look at To Be a Pilgrim, Reality. So as we start, some words from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Our first hymn is a classic hymn of pilgrimage, He Who Would Valiant Be. There's no musical introduction to this song recording, so let's stand and sing together as soon as the music starts. Let's stand. Please take a seat. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Lord, as we think today about the reality of following you, that we can face challenges, sometimes discouragement, thank you that we can call on you in our time of distress, assured of your continued love for us. Amen. Well, we know that sometimes our wrong thoughts and the things we do can get in the way of our walk with Christ. So we come now to the part of our service where we can ask for forgiveness. So a few minutes of quiet reflection before we say sorry. So let's say together the confession. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have our two Bible readings now. First, Jeanette from Romans, and then Jackie reading Psalm 120.
Our first reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, and it can be found on page 1139 in the church Bibles. Reading from Romans chapter 12 and beginning to read from verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second Bible reading comes from Psalm 120, a song of ascents. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Thanks be to God.
Let's bow our heads as we come to look at God's word together. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We can see in our mind's eye pilgrims on the road going to Jerusalem. And we too are pilgrims on the road going to the new Jerusalem. So teach us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You might like to follow along as we go. The words of our psalm for this morning are on our service sheets, and there's a space for notes if you want to do that. I thought it was a good idea to spend the next three Sundays in the Old Testament book of Psalms, particularly those generally known as the Psalms of Ascent. There are 15 of them. We're not going to do all 15. We're going to do one each week for 3 weeks. And there they are about God's people on pilgrimage, joining together, journeying to Jerusalem. And we too are headed for the new Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. The hymn, "Brother, Let Me Be Your Servant," in its second verse, sums up what it is to be church. We, you and I, are pilgrims on a journey. We are brothers and sisters on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. Well, Zoom's had its limitations, but now we can begin to rub shoulders again in church. So in our worship, we can set off again together, face to face, in fellowship. And as a church, go with these pilgrims, the pilgrims of these psalms, to Jerusalem. And we can picture the dusty roads, the excited chatter on the way, and most of all, singing songs of Zion, to see what they experienced on the way and realize it's not very different from our own experience as we journey to the New Jerusalem of the book of Revelation. But firstly, I'd like to spend a little time on some background. And this background really is for the three psalms that we're going to be looking at. So let me take a minute or two just to make some comment about that, which I hope will be helpful before we actually dive in to Psalm 120. For God's people, these poems, for that's what they are, these ascent psalms, would have been sung on the road to Jerusalem. And I'm told no matter which direction you approach Jerusalem, you have to go upwards, hence Psalms of Ascent. Unlike the poetry we might be familiar with, Hebrew poetry does not rhyme or use rhyme or rhythms of speech, but is shaped from the balancing of ideas. So as you read them, each saying or statement matched by another, the same expressed differently for emphasis, or sometimes a contrary view for comparison, which makes, I think, for effective learning for us. For God's people, this pilgrimage was, at least for the men, a compulsory thrice-yearly journey to Jerusalem, the holy city. It was a divine order, if you like, or requirement in response to God's call through Moses in the book of Exodus. And you can find the details of this in chapter 23. This is what it says. Three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Wives and whole families often went too. And these were the three occasions. First of all, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, remembering the month of Abib when they came out of exile in Egypt. That's the first one. Secondly, the Feast of Harvest, with the first fruits of the crops that you sow in your field. That's the beginning, the first crops. And thirdly, the Feast of Ingathering, of all your crops from the fields at the end of the year. And here we have the agrarian picture, much like our own. And soon we shall be singing, "Come ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin." So you can just imagine the joy of a greatly dispersed people meeting up with each other as they travelled to Jerusalem. Regularly travelled, 3 times a year. Pilgrimage isn't high on the list of priorities in our evangelical church tradition. Perhaps the nearest that we get to pilgrimage is perhaps Keswick, or Spring Harvest, or maybe a new wine convention. When you think of pilgrimage, you may well think of Walsingham, or Lourdes, or maybe the Santiago de Compostela. For many, the most beneficial aspect is the random sharing of the journey on foot, with the opportunity to talk, often to strangers, about life's joys and sorrows, hopes and dreams, successes, failures, disappointments. For some, there would be a religious faith element in these pilgrimages, but by no means all. Eugene Peterson, who has paraphrased, the entire Bible, called The Message, called these psalms long obedience in the same direction. And I really like that, because these psalms of ascent speak to me of those things. Apparently, it's a phrase quoting the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche in something that he entitled Beyond Good and Evil. And he says this: "The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be long obedience in the same direction, resulting in the long run something which has made life worth living." I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, I would prefer to add someone who has made life worth living. And that someone, of course, is our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Nietzsche's father, by the way, was a Lutheran minister. So let's have a look at Psalm 120. First of all, you might wonder the wisdom of singing Psalm 120 as a way of getting the pilgrimage off to a good start. You might say, surely this is a bit downbeat. It seems sharply painful and personal. There is more than a hint of homesickness too. God's people living among strangers and enemies. Surely, you would say, as you set off to Jerusalem, you would start with a very stirring and uplifting song or hymn like we've just sung. But it seems that the reality of their situation as pilgrim people was deemed the most appropriate starting point. The reality for them was the starting point that was a place of pain. So let's first of all look at verses 1 and 2. A desperate cry for help. "I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues." I guess after a while, many of God's people settled down to life far from home. And in our own country, over the past 30 years or so, we've seen huge numbers of migrants because of war, refugees, and economic migrants because of poverty at home. And now these people are living peaceably among their new neighbours. And it seems that over the years, some people have become resentful, seeing them as an unnecessary pressure on public services and taking much-needed jobs away from our own people. But the resentment God's pilgrim people were experiencing here was clearly a very serious problem, prompting their cries, desperate for an answer. At the heart of the matter was the undermining of their God, who they loved and worshipped. It was furtive and deceitful, smiling sweetly, but lying through their teeth. And in many ways, there can be nothing more difficult to deal with as those who you have considered friends who turn out to be deadly enemies, who twist and distort and deceive in what they say. And you might, through that experience, ask the question, well, then who can I trust? There is, of course, a very real contemporary parallel for us as God's people today. Bible-believing Christians having to live out their lives in our beloved country that has largely turned its back on its Christian heritage, and as a result, having to live amidst hostility. We can be made to feel like unwanted migrants in our own land. Just as an example, just recently a case involving an organization called Cornerstone, an evangelical Christian child fostering agency. And Ofsted told the High Court that Christian organizations should not bring their beliefs into the professional sphere and should keep out of the public square. And Cornerstone successfully defended by affirming their work as the fulfillment of a religious duty. I'm sure you don't need me to remind you that Orthodox Christianity is often labeled intolerant and narrow-minded. Liberal Christianity has taken hold of our church and society because it makes no moral judgments against sin and aligns with the secular agenda, especially in lifestyle matters. Liberals often sound like Orthodox believers, especially in their application of the scriptures, but their words have different meanings. The current state of the church, brought about by a distortion of the true message of Jesus Christ. So be aware of these pernicious lies, because they're smiling sweetly, but they're leading people astray. Don't fall for what they say. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. The answer is to seek God's justice, not our own. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. The answer is not to fight like with like. There is a greater pathway of justice that is much more powerful and able to counteract lies. It sounds like the psalmist David seems to want to prompt God with ideas that will work like sharp arrows and burning coals. Only God's arrows of truth and coals of judgment would be effective, and they will present an opportunity of a way out, a new life, following via the pathway of repentance. Psalm 64 and verse 3 says, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows, but their cunning plan is foiled. And verses 7 and 8 there, God will shoot them with arrows. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin, and all that see them will shake their heads in scorn. Justice, therefore, is seen to be done. In Psalm 140, verses 9 and 10, let the heads of those around me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. Let burning coals fall upon them, that they may be thrown into the fire. Maybe here a reference to the broom trees that make excellent charcoal. We can learn from this and take note of what St. Paul says to the Romans, chapter 12 of our second Bible reading, our first Bible reading this morning. Where we have been on the receiving end of lies, it's all too easy to want to get our own back, even take swift revenge. Some of us perhaps need to hear the warning about returning evil for evil and trust that in his good time, God will bring you justice. It's mine to avenge. I will reply, says the Lord. This I know is much easier said than done. It might well mean that we have to be very patient, and we might have to trust God, who will act on our behalf. And let's look at the last two verses now, verses 5-7. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Verses 5-7, a longing for peace that might take a long time coming. In verse 5, we read of Meshech and Kedar. The first is in the far north, the second in the far south. And this could be simply a figurative device to illustrate the extremes of distance that God's people Israel is dispersed. After the death of King Solomon, Israel and Judah were often attacked by their hostile neighbors and made captives. Yes, we know many people in our land seem to have rejected the way of Jesus. They reckon they have better answers to life's great questions and better idols to worship. Sometimes we might feel like we are stuck with people who love a quarrel. And when you try to speak peace, they step up the warfare. This could literally be your neighbors, but equally it could apply in your family relationships or with work colleagues or school or college friends. Even, dare I say it, sometimes inside the church. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone is what St. Paul commends, echoing the promise of Jesus that blessed are the peacemakers. Again, this is much easier said than done, but with the Holy Spirit's help, we will be able to prove that we really did trust that the Lord both knew and cared that we suffered injustice and saw to it that justice was done, maybe even especially if it seems a long time coming. So then, Psalm 120, the psalm of harsh realities. Whatever we might be struggling with, the message is set out where we are now, this very morning. We might wish that we were somewhere else, but we are setting out on a journey. Earlier we sang, "He who would valiant be," and we sang his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Let's change it, shall we? Let's change it to my first avowed intent is to be a pilgrim. Literally a long obedience in the same direction. And I hope this doesn't sound like religious drudgery, trudging up to Jerusalem, eyes fixed on the ground. Not a bit of it. For us, if during these long COVID months we have wandered astray, perhaps, from the pilgrim's pathway, now is the time for us to start to return, to start to gather together and return to the road, the road that would lead us to the New Jerusalem, the road that we shall travel, brothers and sisters in Christ. Will you join me? Join me on this road to Jerusalem. Amen. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father God, we've dealt with some difficult things. We've seen the suffering of your people, the lies that were told about them and their God. But we see too, in our country, the lies that are said about our God and the people who worship him and follow him. So we set out with this reality, the reality of this psalm. But our heads aren't down, Lord, our heads are up. We're walking up to Jerusalem, your heavenly city. Gather us together as pilgrims on the road, Lord. Be with us as we take each step, step by step. Bless us and encourage us on our journey. For we ask for the sake of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, we long for that peace that ultimately can only come from trusting in Jesus. And so we come to our next hymn, which is Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. Apologies that the words didn't make it onto the service sheet this morning, but they will appear on the screen at the front of the church here. So let's stand and sing Through All the Changing Scenes of Life.
Thank you.
stay standing as we now affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. So let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Invisible Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a seat. Martin the Good will now come and lead us in our prayers.
Should we begin our prayers with a prayer for today, which can be found on page 4 of the notice sheet. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as you please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Indeed, you sit above the circle of the earth, and the heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you. You alone are worthy of praise. Have regard to our prayers, Almighty God, as we humbly bring our petitions and thanksgiving this morning, mindful of your greatness and our utter dependence on you. Across the country, many young people are attending summer camps and beach missions at a time when everyday disruptions are replaced by a time to make new friends and to focus on Bible teaching and spiritual matters. We pray for receptive hearers and for the seed sown to bear much fruit. Lord, may you give energy and insight to those leading and helping. Particularly, we would remember the young people from Fordham and Eight Ash Green and pray that you would work in their hearts at this time. And we pray for the church here that you would help us to stay focused on you and your word. For the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. May we be a people that delight in your word and hold fast to that word and believe in your word. We thank you for your special revelation and for the illumination and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are recipients of your grace and how we thank you for your mercy to us. And Heavenly Father, may you guide Francis, Nick and Alistair and the PCC in all their decision making, with pressures growing on churches and church leaders in new and unexpected ways. We pray that they would feel you are with them every step of the way, strengthening and helping them. And Heavenly Father, the church in many countries across the world is facing far greater trials and dangers than us. We thank you for the work of Barnabas Fund and for the work of many others that seek to faithfully bring aid and encouragement in many ways and to many countries across the world. We pray that the agents and staff, the risk so much to make contacts in countries that are antagonistic to your gospel will find energy and courage to continue. And Lord, may you help your people to be faithful, to love their enemies, and to grow in grace and sanctification. And in particular, we pray for Afghanistan as it seems to be descending into civil war. We are aware that there are very few Christians in Afghanistan. Many have left, many are refugees and living in other countries. But we know that those that are there are in very great danger and rely very much on Bible apps on their mobile phones for instruction and to keep in touch. We pray for what seems a hopeless situation, and we pray for that situation to change, for the preservation of your people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for gospel light to shine in future days. And we give thanks that COVID appears to be in retreat at the moment. And we pray that Boris Johnson and the cabinet and all those who are making decisions will be guided by you to make the right decisions, however difficult. And Lord, we recognize your judgment and yet your very great mercy in this pandemic. And for those in authority, we think particularly of Her Majesty the Queen. Lord, may you uphold the Queen. Give her grace and strength to continue in her position until your work in her has finished. And we remember in our prayers those that are sick. And we remember those who are our neighbours, those that we know, those who are in this church, those who are sick and troubled at this time. And we pray that through trials and difficulties, they would find you faithful and that they would find you dependable. And Lord, we pray as a church that we may continue to lead quiet and peaceable lives in the midst of a sinful world, not taking for granted our great privilege that you have granted to us in this country. And finally, may you bless Michael and Anne-Rose Bewes as they start a new life in Oxford. We thank you for their great encouragement and faithfulness. They are and have been a wonderful example to many. We pray that you would continue to use them to the glory of your very great name. And in all things, we give thanks to you, O Lord. Amen.
We continue with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, just a reminder that our Minister Francis Blight is on holiday at the moment till the 23rd of August with his family. And also congratulations both to Sam Blight and to Sam Knights, who had birthdays this week. We hope they had enjoyable birthdays. We finish with a song of worship to our Saviour, Deliverer and Friend, King of Kings, Majesty. Let's stand and sing this together.
Friends.
Let's sit for a final prayer. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your gentleness and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honor you in our thoughts and words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.